Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are ASAP Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about traveling. We're going to explain how it affects your brain, your body, your emotions, but also the impact of tourism on the environment and historically, when do we all start traveling the globe? Before that, we're going to be talking about genetic mutations and COVID, as well as solar powers and climate change. And good news.
Good news. Good news. What's it from?
Wicked.
Yeah.
Is that movie coming out?
Oh, well, didn't it get delayed from the strike? Yeah, I'm excited for that. Do you think that's going to be good? For those who don't know what we're talking about as two gay men, we're talking about Wicked the musical.
I think a lot, right? Everyone knows about it.
It's at this point, yeah. If you don't know about Wicked, where have you been? You at least know about Adele Dazeem at the very least.
Definitely Adele Dazeem is more famous than Wicked. But I do feel like it's going to be good, at least just because it's like Defying Gravity is going to be the end of the first movie because they're splitting it up and that's the end of the intermission. So that'll be fun.
I find it weird they're making it two movies, though, because I'm just like, are they putting a lot of filler in there?
Yeah, because it's not like...
Or it's going to be amazing. You're going to be like, wow, I'm so glad we're getting all this extra.
No, every time I've seen Wicked recently, I'm like, oh, there's 10 minutes about goats teaching professors. Like, I don't want more goats. It's literally like, we're turning into goats. And it's like, okay, I blocked that from my memory. So I don't want them to add to Wicked, actually. Unless...
Maybe they're adding some new songs, I bet. But those ones
even then,
end
that
up
sketches
being bad.
Me out.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess deep down, I think it's going to be bad because I'm not sounding.
But
very
I
confident.
Really want it to be good. I actually still love Wicked, even though I think it's aged.
Me too. But that's just
it's
what
a
life
good
is.
Soundtrack. Yeah. Everything ages, including us.
We're talking about traveling because we just got back from, I guess one might say, a Euro trip. Right. Like when we were on it, I was like, "So this is a Euro trip."
But we were only in two places.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's not
but
like we were in Spain and Italy and like they were one place in Spain and like one and a half places in Italy.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Europe.
Yeah.
Europe has a vibe that like people talk about. And when you're there, you're like, oh, yeah, they really do eat like croissants and have coffee for breakfast. Like that is the culture. And like they do like spend a lot of time together in parks, like outside mm-hmm. with their kids. And they do like have really old stores and the hotels are small and old because it's like ancient.
By the end of this episode, we should give a verdict if you would rather live in Europe or North America.
Whoa.
I know there's like obviously so many different places in Europe, but like if you had yes. to choose to be reborn.
That's what I mean. I'm just saying, like, it was a Euro trip in the sense that, no offense, Europe, I know you all have different countries, but there is a vibe amongst yeah. them all. And it's like, it's
especially like, to us as outsiders.
Not to oversimplify, but it is like croissants and coffee in the morning. Like, I am just like, wow, you're really doing a sweet and a coffee and that's it. It's wild. I'm like, where's the grains? Where's the oats? Where's the kefir? Where's the yogurt?
Like
where's the berries?
You're like a cereal boy.
Yeah, I guess I needed to go to my
I'm
culture.
I'm like, where are the eggs?
Yeah, that's actually more American. I feel like for me, it was like, I should have gone to Ireland, which like technically is Europe.
Is that but, like who eats, where eats the most cereal? Who invented eating cereal?
The, like, it's
Because it's not
oats.
The British.
It's so Irish, British, disgusting
No, because British,
oats.
A British breakfast is, like, beans and ham.
Wow, you just
and,
became, no offense, but your voice just got so gay.
That was intentional.
A British breakfast.
It was on purpose.
No, that's, like, modern. Like, think about, like, the... Think about like way
continental
back in the day.
Breakfast is when you get like a muffin and cereal. It must be continental Europe.
Let's just go with that. But in my head, I'm picturing oats and like milk and dairy as a culture being Irish and British because it's like gross and it's like not French. It's not the other ones. German is very muesli. When I went to Germany, I was like, now this is where the muesli is at. Let's
That's
go.
That's where you're from for sure. Yeah, you're probably like, not that you're actually from there. I just mean like, I feel like that might, maybe Scandinavia. Like it's in your blood that you want to eat like raw, plain,
yeah.
bland, tasteless food.
Yeah, it is like also, I bet that if you're European listening to this, you probably want to flip a table that I'm like, all of Europe is, the culture is just croissant and coffee in the morning. I'm like, that is like maybe more French and Spain or something, but
yeah,
oh my
Europe's
God.
And got a lot.
And in Spain, they do, you do eat so late and it's like, this can't be good.
Yeah, you're like, I'm at 10 p.m. and I'm the first reservation. Like we're the first people here.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not like the morning isn't a struggle. If you're Spanish, is it? Like, please phone in and explain. Although, so freaking fun. We had so much fun in Barcelona.
Yeah, and we honestly just kept our... We didn't get jet lagged because we just... We were like, well, if dinner's at 10, yeah. then we're going to stay out and party. Like, we're just staying on home time.
We stayed out partying till 6 and got up at 1 4 days in a row because it was so fun. And so we didn't ever leave North American time zone. It was such a slay. But it was like waking up at 1 while you're traveling is a bit like, are we horrible people?
Yeah.
Because it's like.
Well, it was just that kind of trip.
Yeah. We saw the Sagrada Familia. Gorgeous building. But anyways, that's why we had traveling on the brain. And it's like, did we enjoy it? Did we do something good for our bodies? You're going to find out. Mm-hmm. Should we get into it?
Yeah.
Slow.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, you go first.
Mine is some positive news about climate change, as you said, related to solar power. So a new research study just came out evaluating the fact that we may have just passed a tipping point for solar power to be inevitably like the main source of energy by, they're saying, 2050. Based on like how fast it's growing, like how many people are adopting it, the price coming down so low, their estimate was that it doesn't, like the barriers, there are still barriers, but they're so few that it's basically inevitable.
Huh, that's
which I thought was cool. Let me see what else I wrote
that's
here.
That's such a slay.
Yeah, they're all the study itself was looking at like zero carbon power sources and where they may be in the next like couple of decades. And so, yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that interesting to say. It was just,
oh
like,
my God, I love it.
No, I'm trying to think, debate whether I like go into the details of the study. There are like four main barriers, I'll just say now. They were like grid resilience. So one of the big problems is making sure grids are prepared for this and that, like, yes, solar doesn't run all day long. So how do you supplement it?
Battery storage.
How do we improve battery storage? How do we connect areas so they can share power? So like, that's obviously a barrier that needs to be addressed.
And like the mining of the lithium.
Yes,
yeah,
that's another one. Oh, okay. Supply
Definitely
chains.
Go into the issues. Okay.
Supply chains is another one where they're like, we need to make sure because this is becoming so popular that we have enough resources for it or that the resources are available when we're wanting to.
And we don't go to war over like Chile and Argentina for lithium.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
sorry.
The financing. So apparently like the solar boom has mostly happened in high and middle income countries. But the study was like, we really need to put investments and like potential funding for lower income countries where the potential is even greater, but the money isn't necessarily there to help promote it right now.
These are all legit issues that
last one was politics, like declining industries being against this.
The what industry?
Sorry, I said like declining? Politics, declining industries, like the oil industry, needing like transitionatory phases so that they're not so against these movements. Do you know what I mean? Like people who work in these industries that will have to either transition and hopefully find new, be given new skills to work in other spaces. Yeah. It's like if you live in a country or a province that is primarily supported by like
a fossil fuel or a state,
it's more likely the politics of that place is going to be more pushed back more against renewables.
Yeah. Okay. Slow.
Yeah. But this ultimately they're saying
those were all the issues that like are real, right? But you're saying just even despite all that.
Yes. It's like past a point where like it's happening. So they just, they brought back the trajectory by 10 years of what they had originally thought it would be, where solar becomes the majority power source.
Remember when I like took a big solar panel and then like took the wires and put them on my tongue
and got electrocuted and then got
like fully electrocuted and was like, holy shit, they're powerful. But in that moment I was just like, okay, wow, this works.
Yeah.
Like I like felt it and like maybe took a few years off my life and I did film it and I don't know.
You've never been the same since.
Ever since I've been able to hover my dog with my brain. But it was like, yeah. I hate to say this, but solar panels are a sleigh. And it's good that they're going to take over. But all those issues are serious. Mostly like the materials.
They are. I guess like what the study was saying was ultimately they were like, even without support from more ambitious climate policies, like obviously that's been important up until this point, is like having political strategies and policies that help lift up this industry.
Yeah.
That can be really good, but there's been a lot of barriers in that sense. So it's like now it's hit that point where like consumers are willing to go it. Like a lot of places in the world, like I was reading discussions around Australia, and for most Australians, it's financially more viable to get solar than anything else.
Yeah. It's like when I think of Australia, I think of like a desert with like a shit ton of sun and like nothing else.
Well, I mean, there is more than that, there's but a like, big chunk of it is that.
No, there's like, yeah, like Melbourne and like Sydney. Okay. I didn't forget you, but the big middle, excuse me, they're always like, we're a continent. It's like, relax. How come? That's so unfair. If you're
because they're huge.
Exactly. That's my point. The middle of Australia, where no one is.
Yeah, like, and just like
1,000 million solar panels.
And even in the cities, not just the middle. Like I lived in Townsville, which is near the northern part of Australia, and I swear it rained one time. I lived there in 6 months.
There you go. Sunny all the time.
And yeah. So for people who live there, it probably makes them money to get solar. So the incentive is they don't need to incentivize people because people are like, I'm actually losing money if I don't put solar.
Yeah. Wait. Why isn't Australia like a giant fucking solar panel? It's a rich country. They have the infrastructure.
They're probably becoming one. I don't know what the status of them is.
But then every time I hear about them, they're always like, we have this horrible right wing. Like, like I know they got rid of that one, but it was like, oh, it really sucks if you're like still relying on coal and you're Australia.
I mean, yeah, well, Greg, fucking don't speak too early before our next election in Canada.
Okay, well, we're not going there. We will go there.
I'm just saying, like, countries don't necessarily.
Canada isn't a goddamn sunny McSun place. We have winter, so at least the person could argue that the solar panels are like half the year. Like, there's no sun.
Fine. I'm just talking about the reliance on fossil fuels in our country.
No, I know. Pretty big reliance on that. You didn't have to go there. I was making fun of Australia, which is always fun to do.
Okay, move on.
I'm so sorry, Australia. Oh my God, I was about to defend myself.
Australia doesn't care about you.
I was about to defend
myself. I'm Australia's defender, and you just leave them alone.
Just because you like Australian Survivor, which is incredible.
Yeah, and but I like Australians. I lived there. I've traveled there multiple times.
I also like Australians when they prove to me that they're worthy of being liked. That's all I'm going to say. I love them. I just need to be proven first. And I also was about to defend myself and be like, solar power, we are a justice for solar power family, and that's the Lord album Solar Power, and I realized that's New Zealand, that's not Australia, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, New Zealand is slay.
Yeah. Okay, so for mine, I learned about how there's a specific mutation on a specific part of the human genome that helps to control like genes encoding immune proteins. So if you have GG at this site, not GA or AA, so like guanine.
I'm talking about DNA pairs.
Yes, yeah. Okay. If you have GG, you have essentially like it affects your thymus gland and you end up like producing more immune cells and T cells. You get less severe lung damage from COVID and you have like higher infection fighting immune cells up to 6 months after getting COVID. So it's just like research into starting to explain why maybe some people get COVID more often, why some people get COVID less often. Like they're actually looking at
that's cool. Yeah. Cause we've always known like why are some people more susceptible? I mean, obviously there's been like the stuff that some people are more immunocompromised, but then even between populations of like seemingly healthy, like people who are like, they're an athlete, but why did they get so sick?
Yes.
And they're an athlete, but they barely like had a sniffle. Like this is kind of addressing like, why is there such
a aspects of it? Cause obviously there's just like so much like other, like there's so many factors that go into whether or not you get COVID, but it's at least interesting to know that scientists are starting to figure out that there are specific genetic
like under every other like under all other equal circumstances, same viral load, same like amount of exposure or time of whatever, same like you haven't been drinking the night before, like under all those equal circumstances, these base pairs, well not pairs, these sequences in DNA make a difference in how your body will respond.
Totally. And I think that the like 6 months after having the infection, like fighting cells higher in your body is another big one. Like some people have got COVID a lot.
Yeah,
they clearly got AA or GA on their genome. You know what I mean?
I know. Like spot. I am surprised because I've known some people who got it 3 or 4 times. We both only had it once. Unless we got it again and didn't know. You know
that
what I mean?
Like
I
guess it's crazy because like I still like go out to like K bars,
but probably more.
I don't know why.
Think about it. It's probably more like in the summer and stuff. Like we've probably been more careful. Like I'm not saying people who get it. Like some people's jobs make them more likely.
That's,
like we work
well,
from home.
That's probably a big part of it. Yeah. We don't have to go.
We're
into
not having
like,
to interact with people. Yeah. Like and especially like during most the winters, like the peak seasons, we're probably also more conscious to just like stay home more often.
But I do think a big part of it is probably that we just like are so isolated and lonely and have like the most isolated, depressing lives alone in our home. Do you know what I mean? Like we're literal YouTubers. It's like all I work with is like a camera and my dog and you. Sad.
Oh, they've like they've done something where they're helping dogs sniff out COVID now. And I was like, Ernie, help.
If there's one thing science loves is that they know how to get people on like their side. They're like, dogs can smell cancer. But they are amazing. They are amazing and they can and like slay. But yeah, it's just I think there's just going to be more and more information looking into like why some people get it more often than others. And like COVID is, like as much as it's been around for a long time, we still have so much to learn. And
We were just realizing it's nearly 4 years since the start of the pandemic.
That's horrifying.
Like not quite, but in March.
It feels like it just happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still going on.
Yeah. Like, but it's so disorienting to be like, wait, like that's 4 years ago, I guess. Like maybe
it feels like
three and a half,
at least just like 1.5. It's like time has gone so fast. Like four
I think
years.
It's because it feels like 1.5 since things kind of we got some normalcy back. That's what it feels like. You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like 1.5 since the beginning. Like we were in lockdown for like years.
Oh my God. And Omicron. Yeah. Omicron was, people hate talking about COVID. I think I might've said this on the podcast. I love talking about COVID. Because it's like, let's not ignore the one time the world came together with the same issue. Like it just feels it's kind of like, it's still amazing.
Yeah.
I don't like just like not talking about it. Like sometimes people will just like shut it down at like a dinner or something. And I'm like, no, like
I
still
think
like
people were just burnt out from it, but probably more and more people are like, okay, we can talk about it now. Cause it's not like the only thing we're talking about.
I am going to be curious, like when I get COVID next, like, what it feels like to be like, I have COVID, and everyone just be like, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, like there's just something about when I had COVID the first time, I was like,
it was like,
holy
such a big
shit.
Deal.
Like it's in me. Like the virus I've been looking at photos of for a year is like in me. And like, it was so brutal. And I was like, I respect it. Whereas now I'm just going to be like, probably so scared and annoyed and no one's going to care.
So scared.
Like, I don't know. There's just something about like it. Like at the time, I almost, not that I enjoyed
it's not nearly as scary
it.
Now.
Sorry. I guess there was something exciting about having the thing that I'd talked about so much.
Yeah.
Whereas the second time, I'm not going to have that quote unquote excitement. I'm just going to be like,
it's sick. Just like I'm sick.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll be talking about traveling and what, whether it's good or bad. For
yeah. You. And it's like, I don't know. It's really interesting to be honest. It's such a new phenomenon.
Okay. BRB.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Okay, so here's a definition of tourism. It's a social, cultural, and economic phenomenon which entails the movement of people to countries or places outside their usual environment for personal or professional purposes.
You know what that reminds
me of?
It's
not so like boring. It's like, oh. Sorry.
Yeah, this reminds me of like, you know, when you're in grade 7 or 8 and you're giving a speech and you're like, my topic is tourism. And you go, you start, the definition of tourism is, and then you say that.
But it is interesting because it is like, we're all like, oh, where are you going? Like in our privileged Western world, it's so like, I don't know. There's so much meaning put on it. But when you read the definition, you're just like, yeah, it is just you moving outside of your comfort zone to a new place for like.
But not just your, I guess, does tourism, okay. It doesn't have to be outside of your own country.
So
is it
one,
just like anywhere? Like one, if I just go one city over,
listen,
is that
tourism? zip it. Listen, another definition is someone who travels at least 80 kilometers from his or her home for at least 24 hours
so
for business
I, like,
or leisure.
Go visit my family. I'm
it doesn't
like,
count. It doesn't count.
That's almost 80 kilometers.
No, bold. It says like for at least 24 hours.
Yeah, I go visit for 24 hours sometimes. Am I in tourism? Am I a tourist?
No, you're
in
not
Guelph?
Though, because for the most part, we're just going for a few hours and coming home.
Okay.
Wait, is Guelph 80 kilometers?
It's like
here?
74.
So it doesn't count based on this.
No, well, what if I go to the north end of Guelph? That truly is 80.
Yeah, and that would be more tourist vibes because you'd be like, wow, I've never been here.
If you haven't listened to the first half of the pod, we're chatting about this because we did just come back from a little trip. And we thought we'd ask ourselves, is traveling / tourism good for you? Like, what does it do to your brain? What does it do to your body? Maybe a little bit on, like, we realized when we came together to do this episode, there's a whole other potential episode about, like, how tourism impacts industry and can either help or hurt economies.
Yeah.
We're, like, not really going to go into that too much.
I have a lot of stuff about that. So you do yours first because it feels like it's more about...
Well, what do you mean first? Just like start talking about if it's good or bad?
Yeah, like obviously we travel a lot for our work, which it does say here, it does count as tourism. And we also are tourists a lot. I feel like it's something that I love. Mm. But then I'm just sometimes like, am I making it up?
I think, here's something I want to preface this entire episode with is the fact that obviously travel is a very privileged thing to do. You need to have expendable money.
Yeah.
You need to be able to take time off work unless you're traveling for work. But even being able to travel for work while tiring at times can be like an amazing experience, right? Like you're afforded to go somewhere else often because someone's like bringing you somewhere else or flying.
Historically,
you.
The ability to travel was reserved only for royalty and upper classes. And
yeah.
I think that's still
the case.
Still
kind of the case. Yeah. And I was just thinking about that during like researching this, how not that long ago, like no one traveled, right?
Wait.
Like not no one, but you'd have to be like literally,
yes.
I'm going to try
no
and
one
discover
traveled.
Another
yeah.
world.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to go look for China if you're like in Spain. That's like the only way you could like travel.
And even before
that. And then they found North America.
Even before that, like, you know, not even that long, it's like people were like walking. They weren't even able to take boats. They were just like, I'm going to keep walking in this direction and see what I find. And
they were like, what's
travel?
They were like, what's a wheel?
So I guess in my mind, because travel has become like not part of my identity, but obviously like I really enjoy traveling and feel like it. I'm going to talk about a lot of the ways that it is beneficial, but obviously it's not like essential to the human condition because for most of humanity, travel was not even possible. But what I will say is that there's maybe analogous situations of like the things travel bring you, you can get in other ways. So like on the surface, sorry, I'm not trying to cut you off.
No, you're not.
on the surface, travel enhances connections in your brain because you're like experiencing all these new things and having to see things in a new way, and you're out of your comfort zone. And so while we're going to be talking about how great travel is in some ways, I know we might talk about how it's bad as well, just know that like it's more the principles behind what it's providing that can be acquired through like doing new things in general, I think. And because I don't want this to come off as like super privileged, because like, yeah, it costs a lot of money to travel. Like most people can barely afford their like stationary life right now.
Yeah, you know? It is about new experiences for me. And it's like, you can get those at home for sure. Mm-hmm. Also, the word tourist first appeared in 1772.
Whoa.
Which is interesting because it's like, that's
it
not that old.
Context?
Yes, and it suggests like it's like the word tour comes from the Greek and Latin words circle and turn, which together creates tourism or tourist, which represents the activity of circling away from home and then returning.
Huh. And isn't that like right before America was founded?
Girl, I don't know shite about America.
I only know because of Hamilton. I'm just thinking like
1776.
So like maybe it was right around that time when people were actually starting to like take big voyages, and some were like, I'm going to go to the Americas and come back.
Well, the 1952 was the first commercial air flight from London, England to Johannesburg, South Africa, and Colombo, Sri Lanka.
What?
I know.
1952 was the first time a commercial plane flew.
Exactly. That's what I mean. I'm like, this is all so new. It's stupid.
I know that sounds stupid. I'm shocked by that because if I think of it technically, I'm like, that's not that surprising.
But that's not that long ago.
To think that tourism, and if that's the beginning, that blows my mind.
Also, the 1950s saw the creation of Club Méditerranée, and which is like a club holiday destination, which was the precursor and the first technically all-inclusive resort. Again, 1950s. That's not that long ago. And now it's just like
that. So our parents were like just born, and like for the first time people were like traveling.
The idea of all-inclusive resorts came about in their life. Remember when we learned about Cancun? It was like created in the 70s
as like a destination to
like the
tourists.
Mexican government was like, oh, we're gonna try and pull tourists,
like make it attractive
Wow.
No, I guess it's not that surprising, but I don't know, does everyone else feel I feel really surprised?
That's why I said it, because I was like, this is insane. If people are only taking commercial flights in 1952, then this is so
70
new.
Years, it sounds longer when you say it that way, like for only 70
but it's
years.
Not that long to think about this thing that we all truly just take
For granted, yeah.
It's just,
it's like,
it granted.
Hop on a plane, go somewhere else where no one can speak the language you're speaking, and it has all these different traditions, all these different foods. Like, it is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, and we're millennials, so we're young enough to just be like, we didn't see globalization happen. We just lived in globalization. Mm-hmm. So we're just like, oh, sweet,
just
Starbucks.
Just it was always that way. Yeah,
whereas our parents are probably like, that's insane that there's a Starbucks.
I mean, I still sort of feel like that's insane. Like, the more and more I see places as an adult now, I am like, everywhere, at least the like fancy parts of everywhere look the same now, right? Like, even if you go to like a European city,
it's got Gucci,
it's got McDonald's, it's got all the chains, all the fashion spots, and you're kind of like, even the way they're designed looks the exact same. So you're like, I could be anywhere. Whereas I actually bet 20 years ago was probably the first time I had traveled, and I feel like it was like actually so shocking to see a McDonald's. Like, there would be one. McDonald's was always like a chain that you could find everywhere. Not always, but you know what I mean.
So can you get into your research?
Sure. Okay, so there's like a couple different categories. Most of this research that I found is about like what it does to your brain and body and how traveling changes you. So like the first one is about creativity, and there was this study in 2009, which is obviously kind of dated now, but they gave people a puzzle to solve where all you might have heard of this. I've heard of it before. They gave them a candle, tacks, and matches. And
candle, tacks, like I'm gonna pay my tax.
No, like tacks, like thumb tacks.
I know.
Okay. not tic tacks, thumb tacks. And basically they had to stick it to a cork board with only those materials. Like, how somehow get a lit candle to be stuck to a cork board. Whoa. With nothing else. Okay. And they basically found that people who had traveled or lived abroad had a way bigger variety of creativity around how they would solve these problems. And the context, or what the study concluded, was that like when you get exposed to other cultures and people and ideas, it increases the amount of basically like bits of information that you can pull from and combine and cross over, and like your neural connections are different because you've been exposed to different ways of thinking.
Wow.
Not necessarily literally different ways of thinking, but you know what I mean? Like, your brain's built different kinds of connections, and it allows you to be more creative. So this is when I want to go back to what I said about like this is the principle, right? Like having new experiences can make you more creative. Travel is a very highly stimulating new experience where you're totally out of your comfort zone. Like when you leave your house and you walk down the street, most of the things your brain doesn't have to think about. But when you're somewhere new and you come out of your apartment or your Airbnb or your hotel and walk down the street, suddenly every single thing is new.
Oh, it's such a slay.
Even when you cross the street, you're like, wait, I have to double check because I don't know which way the cars are coming.
If you're in London, they're coming the different way.
And it's even like we were just in Spain and I was like, it's so fun to look at how different the streetlights are.
Yeah.
Like my brain's looking for streetlights somewhere and then you realize they're in a different position. Totally.
Hot everyone is.
Literally. <yeah. laughs> People in Spain are hot. Let's put it that way.
It's like, okay, where does the swagger come from? Is it born in ya? Or is it also, it's like a funny travel thing. It could just be because we're traveling. Like we were literally like best night of our lives, best part. Like, but it's like objectively, they could have been just as fun as Toronto, but because you're traveling, you're like,
your context is different.
You're just like, oh, yeah.
Well, we've done that in Toronto before where we say like, let's pretend we're traveling.
Yeah. And then we stay out till 4 a.m.
And we have like, the best night of our lives.
Yeah. So actually, that is what I would say. If you cannot afford to travel, you need to get together with your friends and you have to say, pretend we're traveling. I did it this weekend for Halloween because we went to the east end of Toronto, which is very far and I never go. And I said, we're going to Munich. And as we went, even looking at the houses, I was like, look at that brutalist architecture. It just makes it more fun because you can travel within your own city. If you've never been somewhere, just like pretend that you've what it would feel like to be a tourist. And it is like enlightening. And I am like, Toronto's such a slay.
It is. I mean, also Toronto is such a huge city. Like some people might be in smaller places. And what I would suggest again is go back to the principle. It's new experiences. Put yourself, do something different, learn something
or
different.
Or drive like, to the nearest big city and actually be a tourist.
Yeah, fair. Case. But what I'm saying is you don't have to be a tourist to get this benefit. Like if you're learning a language or an instrument, true. Like your brain is going to be building connections that are in going to ways, impact how you think, how you solve problems. Like, you're just like literally stimulating your mind.
Also, some people, unlike us, who are like, we're like, travel is a part of our identity. Some people don't like to travel.
Like, oh, you just mean like in general?
Like in general. And then sometimes I'm like, that is funny because we're so obsessed with it and have been forced to do it a lot for our job. So I feel like there's like a certain skill that comes with that makes traveling really easy. So it's like, there's not really any anxiety. Yeah, but it's like, it would be like if I was like dating someone and they were like, I don't really like to travel. I would be like, okay, well then maybe I'll date someone. Like, it's kind of intense because some people really don't like it. I think they don't like the
discomfort.
The discomfort.
And yeah, I mean, but everyone gets something. Some people like piano. Some people like guitar, you know, like
some people don't
like playing an instrument. So it's like, it's totally fair if you're not interested in travel.
And
what I would say is like, if you have the means to do it, it's always worth trying something, right? Like most things in life, if you can do it safely and not push yourself too far out of your comfort zone, it might mean traveling to somewhere that's not as intense for you. Somewhere that's more similar to your home culture that you'd feel like less out of your element. Somewhere that speaks English. Like there's a lot of ways that I think some people jump too deep into the travel when they're not ready and go somewhere like, you know, like India that's really intense and like overstimulating.
Oh my God, yeah.
But even like Europe, like you can end up in places that are so touristy and like it's just, there's a lot of parts of traveling that are not actually that nice.
Yeah, totally.
And it's interesting because we've hit this stage of whatever, whether it's capitalism or just like humanity and globalization, where traveling like it can be so intense and everyone wants to find the place that's kind of like authentic and where locals go, but like it, not that it doesn't exist now, but it's just like harder and harder. You have to go to like more extreme places.
I'm gonna talk about my information now because it like relates to that. Well, first things first, the coolest part for me about traveling is that it slows down time in the most insane way because new experiences, they make your brain work harder and they actually slow down your perception of time. And truly, it feels like we've been gone for 6 months, but we were gone for 18 days. And it's like, that's just an absolute physiological slay that like, I actually think is why I travel. It's just to like, when change life feels like it's going so fast, I'm like, okay, like, can we do a work trip or whatever? Okay, so this is like, how travel relates to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which we need to do an episode about. Because isn't it kind of controversial?
I'm sure. Like, I mean, most things in psychology are controversial.
I know, but what? Okay, maybe I'm thinking of something else. Like, wasn't there some other sort of like, I thought it was Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but there's something similar that also is controversial.
Are you thinking of love languages? Are you thinking of personality types?
Yes, I was thinking personality types.
Or like INFJs or like those kind of things, right?
Yeah, but also love languages. Like, all of these are really good episodes. Love languages is so good because everyone's so obsessed with that. And it's like, what if that's not real? Then we're all just like doing crazy shit to
our
lives.
Hot take. Just because something's not real doesn't mean you can't get anything out of it.
No, I know. We'll wait for the episode. Okay, so when it comes to traveling, this was a study like using Maslow's hierarchy of needs to explain how... This is like from a tour, like it was more for the tourism industry, but also like how they had this hilarious chart about how someone makes a decision about where they're going to travel. And it was like so scientific, but it was like the first thing was like, it was true, but it's like you obviously start by daydreaming or picturing the place.
Yeah.
Which is like so funny because it's like, okay, true. And then you show up and there's like an expectation that's either met or not met.
Or exceeded,
but they kind of almost had it like, again, it was like a scientific chart that was like either it's met or it's not met. And then from there you like make decisions about your trip. And then in the end you decide like, did I like that? Like, did it meet my daydreaming or was it better than my daydreaming or like, will I tell someone to not go back there?
Yeah.
It was just like a really funny, you know, when people like make something really scientific that you're like, that is absolutely obvious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But sometimes like, someone's got
to
say it.
Yeah.
Out loud.
And like they had to like call it a theory. Yeah. And they related to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is okay. So to start, so like in order to enjoy traveling somewhere, you have to meet the first two, which is like essentially like physiological and safety needs.
Yeah, that makes sense. So like if you felt unsafe, it would not be enjoyable.
And it does feel like the first thing you kind of do is you show up, you're like at the hotel, like it's about safety. You're kind of starting to be like, oh, I mean, even for us, like we've done some intense travel and some of the first things I ask, I'm like, okay, so is it safe for me to walk like home here at night?
Yeah.
And it's like, cause you just like instinctively like do that. And when someone's like, oh hell yeah, you're like, oh slay. And if they're like no, it's like, well then there hopefully are some other things that make it worth it. Like yeah. And then they weirdly put like gastronomy in here, which I was like, I guess because it like relates food? To food, which is like part of obviously like level one or two of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. But I kind of was like, gastronomy to me feels a bit like frivolous, like it should be like somewhere else.
Why? Don't you need to be able to eat?
No, I know. But when I think of tourism and eating, I don't think of like sustenance. I think of being like, oh, the gorgeous. But you're right. No, actually, you're right. Like you show up and you panic because you're like, I need to eat food.
Yeah. And some people may have like fears around eating different foods that would make it more challenging for them to try something.
Yeah. Different. Okay. No, it actually makes sense. And they're writing here like regions will have specific unique products and the location will inform the food. So if you are enjoying it, that weirdly is level one and two. And that kind of is what?
I'm just laughing. I'm sorry to side note, but I just was like, oh, that's a shirt you bought me for my birthday like 3 years ago, which I have never worn because you always wear it. And it just has like a giant hole in the pit. And I'm just like, I guess that's your shirt.
Yeah, it is. Toronto Hairspray. Yeah. You know, I think I gave you like 10 shirts that day and I just, okay, I took one back. Yeah, that's okay. It. So food does fit into this. I'm sorry for questioning you, study. That is interesting. Mm-hmm. And accommodation, obviously, it's like that has to do with your safety. Mm-hmm. And that is like a big part.
Safety is interesting because I feel like we've been on some trips where I've definitely felt unsafe in moments. But I feel like there's this fine line of if you feel a little unsafe but end up being fine, it can be a really intense, amazing memory. You know what I mean? And you feel like you conquered something.
Okay, well, now let me get into the next one because that might be what it has to do with. Actually, that might be even C. Sorry. So now we're in B, which is level three, which is the satisfaction of social needs. So your trip will start to like, say it just hits that you're safe and you're fed. Mm-hmm. You're not, it's like you're not really
not exceeding, like yeah. It's not bringing you to a new level.
This is the part where you start to feel like you're part of a community. You start to feel like you're almost blending in with the locals. It's like so funny. Like you meet a local person for us in Barcelona. Everyone was so friendly that they told us about cool parties. We went and met them. We had friends. We like, that was taking cool us experience. Here to level three of Maslow's pyramid. Level four and five is self-appreciation and self-realization. I bet that self-realization comes from feeling unsafe and then actually getting through it.
Where you're like, I was able to do that thing and I learned something about myself and I feel more confident and I feel, yeah. I
mean, so it's
but,
like,
but again,
yeah.
That's like that line of like, had something gone wrong, maybe it would scar me forever.
Yes, and I think that's like why it's like this level four and five, which they said are like the this is what can create a perfect holiday, which is when you have like a self-realizing moment. Mm-hmm. So the thing about safety that's so interesting is the reason it's low on Maslow's pyramid and so essential is that it is like about autonomy and like your basic needs. So if those are challenged and you are resilient and get through it, that can be what makes you have self-realization about your confidence or something. Yeah. So that's like actually the higher up in the pyramid, weirdly, because your safety was challenged, but you got through it or something.
Yeah.
But it is like a lot of people maybe are like, I'm uncomfortable with traveling and I just need my number one and my number two met. And I go to an all-inclusive.
And I get that.
Yeah. And I don't even care about blending in with the locals because it's like maybe I don't have the capacity to like risk that. Whereas you are such an experienced traveler that you're kind of like, I want to be self-realized, so I need to have my safety challenge. But like it is.
I don't like really want my safety challenge.
No.
I'm just saying there's been times that I look back on fondly, but in the moment I was like, this is too much for me.
That's weirdly like a lot of traveling, even just like getting sick. Like when you got sick traveling, you're like, oh,
it's the worst. Yeah.
But then it's kind of like, but then you're like, I made it through. Anyways, I just thought that was interesting how like it's pretty basic what ends up happening once you arrive in a place. If you're a tourist, like it is, you know, you can go to different places or like try and find the most pristine or whatever, but it's, you're all trying to do the same sort of thing.
Well, there's like, it feels like there's two levels of travel. One is where you're just like, you're there to see the things, right? Like, so what are the nicest churches? What are the coolest?
The Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, coolest church I've ever been in.
What are the coolest like natural wonders here? Like you're going to those because they're magnificent. They inspire awe in you, which is like a really amazing emotion to have.
Yeah.
And then level two, not like that it's better, but just the second part of that, I think, is I want to go somewhere and feel what it feels like to be someone living there, right? Yeah. Like, I think when you go to somewhere for a short period, you're like, I'm just here to like take in the sights, to learn a bit about this country or this place, and to see cool things.
Yeah, and I'm never gonna try and like blend in.
I'm gonna eat pizza and pasta in Italy, but I'm not like, oh, this is how the locals feel.
Yeah.
But there's another version of traveling where you're like, I actually want to go to the restaurants or the bars where it's actually people from
and
there.
And it's so, people talk, they're like, oh, you got to try this restaurant. It's where all the locals go.
I know.
And it's just like so cringy.
It can
it's like,
be so cringy. Yeah,
write it down.
Like, the sentiment is fair because there's something cool and special about being somewhere and feeling like, what does it feel like? Like,
it's, oh, there's nothing better to me in the world and being in Toronto and like realizing someone beside me is a tourist and then just like performing me being local and just being like, you know what I mean? Like giving them the moment.
Yeah.
Being like, oh my God, I'm so stressed with the TTC getting to and from my work because I'm from Toronto.
And my home. I'm excited to sleep tonight where I've slept the last 365 days.
Yeah. And like, oh wow, you're at this restaurant. You did it. Cause I come here every Friday. It's my local spot. It's just so hard to know who's a tourist in Toronto because it's so diverse. Mm-hmm. Whereas like when you're in like Italy, you're like, okay, it's the ones that aren't speaking Italian. Because no offense, but like, and no one speaks Italian.
It's
like,
well, it's everyone.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah. So Italy has a tourism problem. Like they do. Like that's what I was starting to read was about how tourism, you know, sustainable development can be an issue. And I just was reading about the issues. I'm like, Italy is having that right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of cities through Europe, I think it do because they're so accessible. Like, yeah. A, English is very pervasive, so it's easy to travel them. B, the food and cultures are similar enough. So lots of like North Americans and people from Britain and other parts of Europe feel comfortable going.
But then
there.
I'm like, was it the White Lotus? Like, I'm like,
I'm sure that I'm sure the pandemic like and White Lotus didn't help, but that's just for the coast.
Yeah, but okay, there was a study I read about how lockdown made people feel less free and fantasize about traveling more than they ever had.
Yeah.
So I know that a big part of what we were learning in Italy was that it was like a post-pandemic issue.
Like a boom.
Yeah, like there are so many tourists in Italy. We were at their like quote-unquote shoulder season, and they're like, we've never seen this many people into October. And I think that they were stressed because they were realizing they weren't able to give people
like the experience
they want. They're like, you can't actually get from that city to that city because the bus is full.
And there's not enough room, or like there's all these reservations you haven't made. These restaurants are all so busy because there's way more people than normal. Like,
yeah,
I think that is an interesting part of like going back and thinking about how travel only started like 70 years ago. And that's like to say the first trip, like I'm sure the actual travel tourism industry. And Italy is an interesting one just because there's like so much history, you know, like thinking of Greece and Italy.
And like also history of travel. Like when they were talking about affluent historical people traveling, Italy was a place that they went. Yeah,
it was like you go to the coast of Italy if you were a rich Italian or like a rich
or
Greek
a rich
person.
British person.
It's like beautiful. Yeah, we were on the Amalfi Coast at one point, and it was just kind of interesting being like, they're actually, compared to like all the rest of Italy where there's like thousands and thousands of years of history, is kind of like the history here is just that like rich people came and made houses because it was pretty.
Yeah.
And it was like a relaxing countryside.
Like some of them were like, yeah, we made paper and like farmed lemons.
But that's like, not like, that's yeah. But whereas obviously if you go to like Rome and you go to like, you're like seeing like the beginnings of, not beginnings of humanity, but like of a kind of civilization.
And we were on a hiking trip, so it was taking us into really satisfying
like in the mountains,
like challenging hikes in the mountains behind Amalfi, which was really beautiful. But then I was like thinking about being stuck in a tiny Amalfi city for a day, and you could tell people's buzzing energy and anxiety of like, what do we do? Like, thankfully the water and weather was good enough that people could like go to the beach, but like there's, you know, there's
not
just
much else
full
to do,
restaurants that don't have room for you. And then it's just like, it was a tense energy.
Yeah.
But that was because the tourism industry there has just, it's
like
it's
that
struggling.
Pandemic boom after that. Yeah. But I think, I think that's happening all over, and more people around the world also now, like so many other countries have like much more affluence than ever before. So like, not only do you have like so many North Americans and everyone around the world is like now traveling. I just think like there's more people than ever traveling.
And it is interesting to study that the psychology of the pandemic did make people who maybe weren't apt to travel before want to travel because they
feel
felt
so
for the first time they couldn't.
Yeah.
Which I thought was so interesting.
Yeah,
I always
like psychological.
Knew they said in Italy, like, oh, people had 2-year vouchers, so they had to come to Italy because they'd already planned a trip. That was like what people were kind of humming and hawing about. But I'm like, no, there's also a psychology here of everyone being told they can't travel.
Yeah.
It like humans
when it's
are
taken
just,
away. You're like, you know, it's kind of like when, you know, we live in Toronto and it's like, we don't go to the CN Tower or like the Skydome or whatever, but maybe if it was like taken away.
Or if they're like, we're closing it, I'd be like, oh my God, I need to go.
Like, yeah. We've
CN
never
Tower.
Gone. Like it's, I think there's a lot of that in places people live. They're like, oh,
I
I've
love
never
the Skydome.
Well, for like events.
But I still am just saying. You've,
there's lots of tourist attractions in Toronto we've never even probably heard of.
I also love the CN Tower. The CN Tower and the Sky Dome are absolute slays from a visual perspective. Yes, they are. They're so iconic. Thank God they build them. Imagine we didn't have them and the skyline was just like, you know, no offense, Vancouver's. And it's just like,
oh my God.
I'm kidding. Vancouver also has gorgeous mountains we never could have. But there's something about the blue glass buildings of like, again, I'll just go there because I already ragged on them earlier in the podcast. Sydney, Australia.
That's like, what Toronto
looks
like.
I'm like, they also have the most beautiful opera house and incredible bridge. Like, no, that's what I mean.
When we came back from like traveling, we're like, Toronto's ugly.
It's so ugly.
It's so ugly.
I'm trying my best.
We were in Barcelona. It's like every street is just like gorgeous buildings, beautiful trees.
Okay, so that's
lining,
that's my
beautiful
point.
Walkways, beautiful bike lanes. Like everything was gorgeous.
Okay, but that is my point. Without like, thank God Sydney has the Opera House and that bridge. Thank God Toronto has the CN Tower and the Sky Dome. Because without it, it's actually just like, fuck, this is so ugly and there's nothing. There's like, they're iconic buildings and the Sky Dome opens. It's very cool. So, okay, in Canada.
Does that not happen at other stadiums?
No, the way that it opens, a lot of them will be open air if they're in like LA and stuff because it doesn't rain enough.
Right.
Like,
but are there not other ones that close? There's got to be.
There's got to be some, but it's still really freaking cool that it can be a winter place and then the summer open up. Thank God they designed that. Okay, in 2011, this is in Canada, tourism created $78.8 billion and it created 603,000 jobs and it accounted for more of Canada's GDP than agriculture, forestry, and fisheries combined.
Whoa.
I know. We don't know there's tourists here, but they're here. And a lot of like them will like drive across the country. It's like, well, I've never done that. And then this was talking about sustainable development and how like what you were saying, like a lot of tourism is linked to wanting to go to the most pristine place, but that's like counterintuitive because in order to get tourists there,
them,
you have
like,
to like
destroy the environment.
Yeah. And I didn't know sustainable development because people would study that at our university. The definition is the needs of the present without compromising the ability of the future generation to meet their own needs. I was like, that's like such a specific way of defining that. That is interesting with tourism.
Yeah.
Like, how do you have people come to a place without,
like, impacting the place itself in the future way.
Yeah. For the people who live there? It's like, okay, like, that's going to be hard. And then this was talking about how tourism is going to be affected in Canada by climate change. And it was like interesting, like warmer temperatures. It's going to be like really hot and like heat stress for tourists, cooling costs. Decreasing snow cover is like a big issue for Canada because people would come to ski.
You said decreasing?
Yeah. Lower mainland mountain resorts didn't have enough snow for a season in 2014. And then obviously increasing storms, like droughts in California, like you can't like get people water. Then this one was like increased frequency of heavy precipitation, and that flooding in Manitoba caused the swinging bridge attraction to close fully. Like things like that where you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, more extreme weather makes it even just scarier to go to a place that potentially has extreme weather, right? Like even here, like we get some pretty intense winter blizzards, and if those get more and more extreme or unpredictable, I'm sure some people will be afraid of that.
Yeah.
Like I'm afraid to go to places where there's like hurricanes and stuff.
Yeah.
And if I know they're more unpredictable than ever before, that makes it less appealing to go somewhere like that.
And there's also something called the tourism carrying capacity, which is like this algorithm to figure out the maximum number of visitors which an area can sustain without unacceptable deterioration of the physical environment and without considerably diminishing user satisfaction. So I'm like, I think the Amalfi Coast's TCC, tourism carrying capacity, was overstretched. And I'm like, there is an energy that you feel if you go somewhere like that where you're like, this isn't built, but everyone wants to be here. Like, it's just like interesting because it's like an inevitable industry and an inevitable concept where all humans are probably going to do forever.
Yeah.
And there are ways that people try to like design them. I do think Toronto would be a great place to come because the TCC is on point.
You think?
I don't think people are coming here and thinking it's overrun with tourists and they can't figure out how to live.
I thought you
live.
Said the TTC, like,
oh my
like
God.
Our subway system is pathetic next to
hell.
Like anywhere in Europe.
Yeah, every city we'd go to in Europe, we're like, oh, you have so many trains in your really old city. With, like,
and they go like everywhere. Yeah, like how did you build this?
And we are like such an affluent country. Cool. No, I mean like, it doesn't feel like tourists capacity. Have ever overrun Toronto. And then therefore we don't. Whenever I meet a tourist, I get excited. Whereas in Europe, sometimes they're like, get the fuck out.
You're right.
Because they're ruining our city.
Getting in the way, yeah. The only other things I was going to talk about were like more about the body. Like studies on rats have found like when they're put in either like limited environments or enriched environments where they have like toys and things to do, like their brains grow so much more. They have so many more synaptic connections.
Like mimicking tourism.
Yeah, they're kind of saying like when this is all about traveling. Like new experiences, right? So when you give a rat more to do, its brain grows like all over and you see all these different connections. In terms of stress, they found that after trips, like it can last 5 weeks that people feel less stressed.
I feel less stressed.
Less headache. Yeah, like it lingers with you. So it's like a great way to release. Because obviously, I mean, that's probably more related to even just like working, right? Like working is very stressful.
But I also think when you see the world, it minimizes your home stress. You're kind of like,
the world's so big. Yeah.
Like you're just living life here in Spain and don't give a shit about me.
Yeah, totally.
It kind of helps. You're like,
it's like looking at the stars in a way where you're like, everything's so big. Why am I so stressed?
And then you even see like their stress, like you'll meet like someone and they'll be like, I'm so stressed with work, but you're like on vacation, you're like, don't be. It's like easier to be like, why?
Nothing matters.
Yeah.
Just like, enjoy life.
Just do your job and then enjoy your life. Like it does take away this sort of like hustle culture of at least like America's so hustle culture. Actually, I bet Europeans go to New York and then they get
feel
more stressed. They're like, wait, everyone here is
going so fast.
Like working so hard.
Interestingly, I found a study that showed people who are sleep deprived actually sleep better while they're traveling. There's like 20,000 people who were wearing like wearable monitors. And it was people who already sleep 7.5 hours, like would sleep less while they were traveling. But for those who were underslept, this is in areas where they weren't changing time zones. They got more sleep. Probably because they're on vacation.
Like,
you know what I mean?
And or also like, oh, true. They're not having to get up. I was like,
and
it's
the
because
stress
they're
of
walking
work and,
so much.
I'm sure there's lots of factors, but they just found that people who have sleep problems would sleep more.
Wow.
So solution if you can't sleep. And ultimately, the overall happiness of people who travel is a bit higher. But it's important to note that work, family life, and friends plays a much bigger role, but travel is just, it said something like 7% happier if you accumulate travel experiences. So it's not
that's
like...
That's interesting, because the family, friends, and home life is so important. Like, I feel
work
bad.
Was in there too, you know?
Work, sorry. I'm going to drag, like, the idea of people, and it's just like everyone probably freaking hates me, because I also think at this point I'm also kind of coming for Australians again. But it's like the idea of, like, when you make traveling the own, like... Like those
the,
people
the
that
center
you,
point of your identity.
Yeah, and it's kind of like,
but
okay.
No, I just think people, it can be an exploration, especially at a young age. I think it's an amazing thing about Australian culture is that they are so well traveled.
Yes, okay,
and
that,
they take gap years and they like see the world and they encourage young people to like get that perspective.
I'm gonna say a story about an Australian person that is not about all Australian people, but it's telling me the certain people I'm talking about. Like, there was this one time I went to Berlin and I was like at a hostel and I was alone, so I was like making friends, and there was this girl, and she was an Australian girl on her 1 year freaking trip mm-hmm. around the world vibes, and so she was in Berlin and she was so obviously obsessed with like being alternative mm-hmm. and like loved that she was in Berlin and really wanted to find like the hottest club and the like most squatter place of all time, even okay. though it's like you're in a hostel, you're not squatting. And we went on like, I initiated probably we should go on like a walking tour of the city. Like, they're really good. And it ended at this part of Berlin that's like the equivalent of like Times Square, I guess, or like
just like a busy business area.
And she literally had a panic attack. She's like, I can't even see this. Like, like she was just like, oh my God. She was like, cause she'd had this idea, I guess, spending right. 4 days in Berlin. She'd had such
so
an amazing time of just
like,
being like, it's all alternative. Mm-hmm. Everyone is counterculture. And it's like, no, we're like, there's like a lot of people in Berlin who are just normal, yeah. like who aren't just constantly like going to Berghain.
Right.
And she was like, it was like, I had to comfort her. And I was just like, you're not from here. Like,
yeah.
it was, and that energy sometimes, like when we were in South America, right. people who are like American, who are like, you know, it's
they're
giving
kind
like,
of blind
giving
to
like
some
cornrows
part of it.
In the hair and being yeah. like, I actually am living
like,
in
get
Costa
it here.
Rica. And
yeah.
it's like, no, you're a really rich white person who moved yeah. to Costa Rica. Like, and I'm like, to me, those people are sacrificing their family, their friends, and their work at home to do this thing that if you think is more valuable than those yeah. other things, you might get lost in the
That's
plot
true.
Of it.
Yeah, and it is a bit illusory. And like, of course, there's something to gain from it, but you have to like put it in perspective.
And I'm like, again, maybe just privileged to love Toronto and love my home life. Mm-hmm. So traveling feels like such a nice thing to do, but it's not.
It's like cherry on top of like
yeah.
the base of what you already, you need a good cake to appreciate everything.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I hope that girl from Australia is not listening or remembers this, but I just remember being like, this is so funny. Like, Berlin is still has such a lore around it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, babes, there's a Zara, and lots yeah. of people from Berlin are shopping at Zara. Like, I'm sorry, they are.
Yeah.
Like, maybe for a black tank top to get into Berghain. But right. like, it's just kind of funny because mm-hmm. it's like, yeah. Like, sometimes you want a place to be something that you dreamt of.
Yeah, and sometimes like, you're trying to fulfill your own needs
yes,
in the
yes.
first place. And people do that with travel. They do it with lots of things, right? Like, you build an identity around.
She literally ran away from me and my friend because we, like, needed to find sunscreen. And we, like, had to go into the, like, equivalent of the large pharmacy because I was like, I'm going to get sunburned. And she's like, I can't be here. I can't. And she, like,
God.
Ran onto the subway. And I was like,
That's
okay, well,
so funny.
I'm going to just buy some sunscreen. I'll meet you at the hostel. Also, there was an American guy, and it was so sad, and he'd been there for like, what, weren't you with me for this one?
I don't know.
He'd been there for like a week and a half, and he said he wouldn't leave Berlin
until he got into Berlin.
He
tried to go to Berlin like every
single
night.
And so every night we'd be like, hey, we're going for dinner. See ya, Chris. And he'd be like putting on his belt and being like, I'm going to try again. And we're like, good luck. It's like, oh my God, this goddamn club.
Yeah, it has such a lore around
it.
Yeah,
it's so funny. And people still talk about it. Like, I think even on this last trip, people are just like, Berghain,
mm-hmm.
the sound system. It's just like butter to your ears. And you're just like, no, it's not. But okay.
I think like at the end of the day, like, do you think traveling is good? I guess the one thing we haven't fully talked too much about was like how...
The impact on the environment?
Yeah, the environment and just like how... Even thinking about like that... Well, not that girl you were talking about, but like a lot of people with money from... Western countries go to these yeah. other countries that are less privileged and use the power of their dollar, which actually yeah. impacts the local economy. Like, and nowadays, since the pandemic, especially, there's a lot of, what do you call them? Like
digital nomads.
Digital nomads. So people who are like, I can work from abroad. Like, I don't need to be in my office. So they're making like okay, American let's do, or Canadian
Let's do an
dollars.
Episode on digital nomads. Yeah, because okay. I do think that that is different than tourism. And I yeah. do think we could do one about tourism. Like this was That's more about true. Traveling.
Yeah.
That I do think that these are all important things to think about. But having been in Medellin, where digital nomads are creating a really big tension within the city and watching it happen in real time, I was like, this is a separate thing than
yeah.
tourism.
Yeah, you're right.
They
because tourism you
were
come
a
and you
lot
spend
more interested in tourism. Yeah. yeah. Like and they were a lot, I think, more yeah, I don't know. It felt like the tension, at least in Medellin, was coming from the people who were staying for 6 months and mm-hmm. working and getting paid in American and then like
spending
renting
their money there.
Yeah.
Yeah, bringing rents up, bringing the price of everything up, really.
That is really interesting, though. It's like almost like we should have our friends from like Medellin like come on the pod for that because it's kind of hard for us to discuss.
Give that perspective, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well then at the end of the day, do you think travel is a good thing for like a person?
Well, the thing just like for me personally, like I love it so much and I think it helps me so much. Like I genuinely, when you said you're less stressed, I'm so much less stressed right now. Mm. I loved it. It makes me feel so fulfilled and I just, yeah, no, I just, it's just something that I love and I am so freaking privileged. Also even so privileged in my like, and like I don't have anxiety. Like I don't have these things that make.
Around traveling, you mean?
Yeah, but like even in like even if I didn't have anxiety, if I had severe anxiety, like it would just be hard to travel. Like I just have this like a like I don't know. I just
I see what you're
saying. It's not I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of parts of it that could be really unenjoyable for people that I just yeah. don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and I love it and I love seeing the world. I think it makes like me feel so like comforted.
Mm-hmm. Are you gonna ask me?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think travel is amazing. And like, again, I think you can get some of these benefits in other ways, but travel is just like a way to throw yourself into something else. Like, not to bring up Big Brother, the show is on, but it's similar to that where it's like, you can't construct a situation like that for yourself. But yeah. travel is kind of a way where you're just yeah. like putting yourself somewhere else. And now all these variables are different and it's like hyper stimulating for your brain.
I think it does. Like lead to like why we are care so little about our job or like I just feel like so many of our American peers who don't travel that much are so committed to their like they get a little myopic about their job and so I think yeah. that in some ways the reason why I at least have been so calm about ASAP Science how a lot of the time has been like I travel and I'm like no one here gives a fuck about ASAP Science
right yeah.
whereas I feel like it's
you
like,
kind of you build your own world that this is so
yeah,
important.
It really has helped me with like stress and like not sort of caring so much. Caring enough to like build a career, but not
to take you out and show give you perspective is always helpful.
Yeah.
You know
what yeah. I
mean? To just stop you and be like, your world is small. And that doesn't have to be a sad thing. That can actually be a really exciting and liberating thing to
yeah.
realize.
And it is about where you choose to go. Like whenever I go to New York or LA, I feel more anxious about my job.
Yeah.
Like it's like, and I bet a lot of people.
Because you're surrounded by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if I go to like London, it's mm-hmm. like these places are cool, but I'm still thinking like, oh, it's like when I go to literally anywhere but those three places where you start to be like, yeah, like in Medellin, it was mm-hmm. just like, I don't know. It's just that's the type of travel that makes me feel less stressed. Because mm-hmm. some people might just like love going to New York and then like not get the same sort of like.
Yeah. But to each their own as well.
Yeah, totally.
Think. Like
totally.
I think if you're into it, it's such a cool thing to do. It's like it can offer so much that it's worth doing.
Yeah.
And it obviously has like some pretty good effects on your brain.
But I'm so excited to talk about all those other ones, including yeah. digital nomads, love languages, personality types. Okay. Like and subscribe, Ralph. Was that the word?
Oh thanks for God. Listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.